how many of you remember your first trip to Eckerd's, either as a child or maybe you taking your own children or grandchildren? Today, you're going to hear the story of Eckerd's, and joining us in studio, Chris Eckerd, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, telling the story of family businesses across the St. Louis region. It's the business of family business. So, Chris, tell me what you do at Eckerd's.
Well, technically, my role is president, but in a family business, president is, you know, about as valuable as not much, because, you know, when you have your parents and your wife and your sisters as employees, everyone just kind of works together as a group.
Yeah.
But I do function as the kind of corporate leader and at this point in time. And, you know, it's a real honor and privilege to have that role.
Right. Tell me everything that goes on at Eckerd Orchards.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a lot.
Well, I like to say that we're so diversified, we're guaranteed a disaster every year. But we, you know, at our heart, we are farmers. We raise mostly fruit crops, and peaches are the biggest crop we produce.
Hmm.
Apples being the second largest crop we produce, but we also have strawberries, blackberries, asparagus, Christmas trees, pumpkins, and a whole array of vegetable products for our country store.
I never would have guessed peaches before strawberries.
Yeah, peaches are a much bigger crop for us than strawberries.
Yeah,
we raise about 250 acres of peaches. One of the largest peach growers in the Midwest,
mm-hmm.
and most of those peaches we produce are shipped wholesale throughout the Midwest.
Wow. Okay. So when someone actually goes to Eckerd Orchards, like my wife, for example, she had some play dates with some other moms there. There's a lot of other things to do with the kids. You don't just have to go there for the fruit. I mean, you do a lot out there.
Right. Yeah. We said at our heart, we're farmers, but our business is mostly about entertaining families out at the farm. So people come out to get fresh produce right off the tree or off the plant. And we also have a country store, a restaurant, and all the entertainment options of our fun crowds, like the petting zoo and kids' play structures and activities for families to partake in while they're on the farm.
Right.
So while we're known as a farm, our business is really an entertainment and retail business.
Right. So let's talk about how it all started, because this is one of the oldest family businesses. It is the oldest family business we've ever interviewed on the Business of Family Business. When did it start?
Well, the family, my family, immigrated to this area in 1837 from Germany, mm-hmm. and we settled right outside of what is today St. Laborie, Illinois, so a little east of where we are today. And that was Johann Eckerd. He was a farmer, mm-hmm. and was kind of the traditional farmer of that era, had some livestock, had some grain, and probably had a little orchard at that time as well. He had sons, and he purchased a farm for each of his sons.
Hmm.
My lineage comes from Michael Eckerd, and we still have that farm that Johann purchased for Michael. And that's where our first orchards were really established in the 1850s.
Wow.
On what we call our Drum Hill Farm. And from there, Michael's son, Henry, mm-hmm. Henry Clay Eckerd, after the senator from Kentucky, mm-hmm. Was married to Mary Miller, and they bought her parents' farm in Belleville.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our current main operation is today. So the third generation of Eckerd's has really moved into what we call Eckerd's of today. And there they started raising a lot more fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Clay's son, Alvin, continued that tradition, and he was the first innovator into the retail side of the business, and that would have been in the early 1900s. So that retail endeavor was the same thing that farmers worry about today. You know, it's trying to get more profitable revenue for the crops you're producing. So if we go directly to the consumer, we can cut out the middleman, and it's a better business model for us as farmers.
Wow.
And Alvin was a real entrepreneur. He really expanded the business, and his three sons went to the University of Illinois, studied agriculture. He was a proponent of education. And when they came back into the business in the 1920s and 30s, the business grew because they had more family horsepower. They just added farms and business units and bought some other companies through the 20s, 30s, and 40s. and expanded our operation throughout St. Clair County, Illinois, and then also down into the Carbondale area. And there was also a proliferation of other business units that went along with that. So they were raising livestock and fruit and also retailing and slaughtering animals. So it was kind of like a full-service farm retail operation at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next generation of family got involved in the 60s, and that would be my father's generation. And that was when we really started looking into the pick-your-own business. 1963 was the first year we offered pick-your-own fruit.
Wow.
And what we noticed is that, you know, people really enjoyed coming out and getting apples right off the tree, and that business quickly grew, and it was a much more lucrative business model than the wholesale business model. So through the course of the 70s and 80s, we transitioned the business completely from a wholesale production model into more of a pick-your-own model, and that was through my dad's generation. But I think it was really in the 80s that we saw, we had more and more people coming to the farm, but they were harvesting fewer and fewer bushels of apples. And it kind of was an aha moment for us to say, well, we're not really in the apple business, we're in the entertainment business. People are coming here because they want to take a picture of their kids picking their first apple and have that story to tell. And just had one of those stories told to me as I walked in the studio this afternoon. So that was really cool to you know, hear that and know that we're such a neat part of so many families' lives in the area.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. When we hear about the different generations and how they approach the family business, there was a point where they started to realize that, yes, we are a farm, and yes, we have peaches and strawberries and apples and things like that. But they were able to categorize and understand that the people that were coming in, we're also looking for entertainment, and that helped define the business. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Sure. It's knowing what business you're in is very important for a business owner, and how you conceptualize the business determines kind of your mindset, your paradigm, or lens through which you see the business. And the different definitions of the business determine what you see as opportunities or what you see as challenges or threats. And so it's very important to have an appropriate definition of the business in your head. And the Eckerts family, moving from production of fruit to a destination for family entertainment, may not seem like a big difference, but when you think about opportunities and challenges, how you allocate your capital resources, it's a very big difference. And the fact they recognize that is very good for that family business.
Eckert's very famous in this region. Eckert Orchards. We're going to continue our conversation with Chris Eckert, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And in many ways, family businesses, they're like every other business, except for this one. You get a tractor and you get another generation of family members that love the business as much as you do. But I want you to imagine when it's time for a family business owner to make that decision, to transition. Many don't really plan this sort of thing out, but they should, because if you have another generation of leaders that are growing inside of the family business, eventually you're going to want to make sure the transition of leadership and the transition of ownership go smoothly, because we know you love the business and you know you love the people that work for the business. This is a great time for you to reach out to CMA Consulting, and they can help you with everything you need. Talent, experts, tax, accounting, banking, legal, risk management. They want to make sure you're set up, and they want to make sure the next generation can be effective owners and they're set up to succeed. Contact CMA for a complimentary, no-obligation meeting. You can discuss your family business, a generational transition, or the benefits of the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. Go to cmaconsult.com. That's the website. Or call 314-721-1860. The website every family business should know, and the one that you should be telling family businesses about, cmaconsult.com. If you know a family business that has a great story to share, we would love to hear about it. On the Business of Family Business, we tell those stories. Reach out to Dan Bean, the website cmaconsult.com. Just send them an email and tell them about the business we should be talking about. This week, we're looking at Eckert's, a very famous family business in this region. Eckert Orchards, you can check them out online. And Chris Eckert joining us in studio now. You mentioned, too, that retail didn't start until the 1900s. So before that, were you guys just living off the land just to live? It wasn't really a business at that point?
It was a business in the sense that your excess production was taken to market and sold.
Mm.
So you were at the mercy of whatever the wholesale market would deliver or the commodity market would deliver for a price for grain or livestock. It wasn't until the 1900s that we started retailing that product directly to the end consumer.
Chris Eckert, Eckert's Orchards, what does a family reunion look like for you? Because you can go back seven generations. You got to have a lot of cousins and all kinds of family members.
We have a close family, as amazing as that might sound. And most of our family does not live here. We've got family in California, Florida, Texas, and of course the St. Louis metro area. But you know, the family is not 100 people. It's not that large of a family, and there's not because of any strategic decision making. It was there were family members who didn't marry. There were family members who didn't have children. So that's kept the family relatively small, but it is quite dispersed geographically. So that all said, we've had the benefit of some very strong matriarchs in our family. Yep. And my grandmother being one of them was kind of a ardent believer in everyone needs to come home for Christmas. And there were traditions and activities every Christmas that the family partook in. And so as a result of that, my cousins who I have in Texas and California, I'm remarkably close with. We have a kind of a shared history and tradition past. So that has kept everybody very tight. And so we work as a family to kind of continue some of those traditions with our kids' generations so that they can be close to their cousins. So I have cousins from my cousins' children now who are in California and Texas. They're sending their high school age kids to the farm for a summer to work and meet their cousins from Illinois and you know, have that kind of experience of where they're from and, and the farm life.
Dan, being from CMA Consulting, you work with a lot of family businesses. Seventh generation, that's something pretty special. You don't get to see that every day.
We're well under 1% of all the family businesses that ever started make it to seventh generation. I don't know of any other in St. Louis that's a seventh generation. I know a few G6s, but Chris is the only G7 I'm aware of.
It's remarkable. I mean, that is really, really special. Do you have any family recipes? Some family recipes that have been passed down through the years that every Christmas when the family gets together, Thanksgiving, that they, it's a must-have?
Well, I know there's a couple of things that I personally must have, and one is my Grandma Eckert's custard peach pie.
Oh,
so that is a real favorite of mine, and it's available in our cookbook. I cannot recite it from heart here, but that is a special recipe. And I do know that the Eckert apple selections for apple pie are three Jonathan apples and one Golden Delicious apple for an apple pie. So that is kind of the secret mix of tart and sweet apples that we prefer for our apple pie blend.
I wanted to look at the family business side because of seven generations. You mentioned that you kind of have a small family, but there's other family members involved. So the ownership at Eckert Orchards, are you someone that has a partial ownership, sole ownership, or how does that normally, how does that work with you guys?
Nobody has a sole ownership of any aspect of the business. So it is a shared ownership. And, you know, the structure of the business is really divided into two components. There's asset holding company and an operating company. And our strategy has been at this point in time that the family at large will share ownership of the asset holding company, and the people who elect to work in the business will own the operating company. And they pay rent to the asset holding company. So there's codependency, but it also allows for the people who are in the business understanding what the here and now problems are, full control over how to make those decisions on a daily basis to run the business most effectively, and also share in the rewards and risks of the good and bad years that come along with farming and just any business that you might get involved with.
So that probably means the number changes when you have different family circumstances or different people coming in and out of the company?
Yeah, the number of owners of the operating company goes up and down.
Yeah.
And so it, I kind of equate it more to like a law practice or a partnership. So, you know, as family members get to retirement age, they can sell their shares of stock to younger family members wanting to come into the business. And it gives them a retirement strategy to value or monetize that asset that they've built up over the years. And it allows younger generation family members to kind of earn in to the business. And as they dedicate themselves and their time and their resources to the business, they can become a more equitable owner of that business.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, what do you think about the growth of shareholders over the years and the way that they've structured this?
So they are a fairly small family for a G7, but one of the critical things, and I happen to know this about Chris's family, Alvin, who was G4, was the only member of the family who had a next generation. So basically, the family started seven generations ago, broadened out, but then refocused into one person, Alvin at G4, Chris is G7. So in one way, Chris is G3 in terms of dynamics and in terms of size of the family. And so that's why right now there are not that many shareholders in the operating company, but there are more shareholders in the asset or land-owning company that he talked about.
Chris Eckert in Eckert Orchards, talking about how the shareholders work, when you guys are making a decision, does that mean every shareholder has a vote?
It depends on the decision. When we are looking at normal operating business or regular capital expenditures to keep the business going, those decisions are made at the operational board level. And that is consistent of the board is comprised of mostly family members, but we do have our CFO is also a board member. And they would vote to approve or to say no to any type of a capital project that would be kind of within the normal operating confines of the business. In addition to that, we also have an advisory board that meets four times a year, and that's comprised of our regular board plus four non-family business individuals from the St. Louis area. And they are they've been chosen by an interview process, and they serve as kind of a sounding board for the overall board and the leadership team to kind of be accountable to and keep us apprised of our blind spots and things that we need to be looking towards.
Very good.
If we're looking at a major capital project that would change the kind of the complexion of the business, we would engage the whole family in something like that. So if it's something that really shifts the financial situation of our business, we would ask the entire ownership to participate in that decision.
Like acquiring another farm in Kentucky, for example. Is that something you talked to everyone in the family about?
It's something we talked to everyone in the family about, but it ended up not being an entire family or shareholder decision because the way we have structured deals like that, at first, land company, our asset holding company, would have a decision in saying we want to do this acquisition or we don't. In that case, we weren't really interested in the land company taking on another business risk because we had just done an expansion. So then we pass it down to individual family members and we say, well, are there individuals who'd want to make this investment? And so in that case, individuals within the family made the investment in buying the assets of that company. And then the operating company rents that back from that ownership group. So it's like we have a separate landlord for those assets, but it operates under the same umbrella of our operating company.
How has that worked out for you guys?
It's relatively new, so we're still learning our way through it. I think from a business structural perspective, there's been no issue to it because we have other assets that we lease from other landlords. We have farmland that we rent from people around St. Clair County who own that ground because it makes sense for us to rent that ground. So it's not necessarily a unique situation, and we've done some businesses models like this in the past. So I think there's some level of comfort with doing it and not really any concern about it favoring one side of the family or another.
What's their number one crop that they grow there?
In Kentucky?
In Kentucky.
It's a relatively small farm, but the main crop is apples. But it's still like 20 acres of apples. It's not a large operation. It's mostly a retail location. It's a pick-your-own farm. The people from the Lexington community come out there to pick apples and strawberries and peaches and blackberries and pumpkins. So it's kind of like a miniature version of what we do in Belleville.
And jams.
We have a full line of our retail product, all the jams and jellies and store products that we sell at Belleville, we carry there too.
Yeah. Can I say I love a good peach shake? You don't see those too often anymore, but man, I could enjoy a good peach
fresh shake. Fresh peach custard concrete at Eckert's is really good.
Bet that's awesome. Yeah. Well, you have a restaurant there too, don't you?
We do. Yeah. We have a 400-seat restaurant at Belleville.
Wow.
And, you know, it's a part of the whole mix of products that we offer, so it is obviously busier when we're doing pick-your-own apples and peaches and whatever else. But it's open 12 months out of the year, and, you know, it's breakfast, lunch, dinner every day.
We'll continue with the Business of Family Business. Chris Eckert from Eckert Orchards joining us in studio with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. We'll continue with that story next on KMOX. This may be the oldest family business we have ever highlighted on the Business of Family Business, going back seven generations all the way to 1837. It's a family business you're very familiar with. You may have taken your kids out there this year already. Eckert Orchards, and Chris Eckert joining us in studio with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. How did you get started? What was your first job there?
Well, I think I initially started out as a pain in everyone's backside because I just always wanted to be a part of whatever was going on the farm because I grew up, my parents live at our Millstadt farm, so I grew up there, and I always loved the fall season when Pick Your Own opened and seeing all the people come to the farm and wanting to get out and drive the tractors around and be a part of the action. So I kind of knew from a very early age that I had a passion for what we do as a business. But part of our family strategy is that you cannot just come straight back into the business. Mm-hmm. You have to get experience outside of the family business. You have to get a college degree, so that's part of it. And so I got my degree from the University of Illinois. And then I spent several years working in different aspects of the produce industry around the country.
When you came into the business and you worked your way up, there's probably a time where you talked to your dad, and I don't know if they're still involved or not. Are your parents still involved at Eckert?
They are, yeah.
They
claim to be retired, but they're there almost every day that they're in town.
I see. So it would have been his father your grandfather. So when you look at that generations, is it after retirement, do they find a way to sell the shares, or do they still become involved up until, you know, until the end of their life?
I think it's unique to each individual. Mm-hmm. My dad and his cousin Jim were the two main family members of that generation that made a whole career of working at Eckert's. They've maintained most of their ownership. They've passed on some. My generation has done is purchased most of the shares from the previous generation trust.
I see.
So we were pulling those shares out of trust and consolidating shares that would have otherwise been dispersed to family members outside of the family business.
Right.
So
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to talk to you about that sort of transitioning. So there's certain stocks, some stays, you know, they might be buying more into the company or looking at some of the stock from out of a trust. What's your thoughts on the way of the way Eckert has transitioned?
So they've been very effective. They got two basic types of companies. They got the operating company and those that are active in the business, meaning the restaurant, the country store, the retail, the pick your own. They own that. So you have to be active in that business to own that stock. At least, Chris, I think I'm correct there. And then the whole family, whether they're active or not, can own the land. That's the asset company. And so those that are in the business own the day-to-day operating business. Those that are in the family can own the assets, can own the land, and have a connection to the land. And that's very important. Farming is something that kind of gets into your being all the way down to your soul. And so having a connection to this family business is very important for the whole family. having the latitude and the freedom and the autonomy to run the operating business is very important for those few family members who are active in the business. So they have a very good model.
So people have certain tricks when they go into the grocery store to try to find the best fruit. So if you're trying to find that perfect apple or that perfect peach or anything, do you have any tricks for people going to the farm markets and looking for that?
You know, the biggest trick is the most obvious thing. The fresher a piece of produce is, the better it's going to taste. Mm-hmm. So I always say, buy what's in season, buy what's local, mm-hmm. because you're going to inevitably have the best eating experience if you just stick with that.
Yeah.
And peaches are a great example of that. Peaches only get worse after they're picked. They're not going to taste better. So you get them closer to the tree. You get a peach, you eat a peach, the better it's going to taste. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of been a business model that has made us successful, right? Is people have these experiences with the products we grow, and they are like, wow, I've never tasted a peach this good, or these apples are so crispy. You know, what's your secret? Well, the secret is they're fresh. You know, it's not that we have some sort of recipe in the bag that makes them better. It's that they're fresh. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be my first suggestion. And then the other suggestion I like to say is, try not to put your produce in the refrigerator because refrigeration, especially with peaches, really helps deteriorate them more quickly. Now, if you have to keep them for 2 or 3 weeks, that's the only way they're going to keep from rotting over that period of time. I always say buy fewer at a time and make more frequent purchases because you want, while they're in season, you want to be as fresh as possible because that's going to give you the best experience.
If you like to hear stories of family businesses, go to KMOX.com in the podcast section. You can listen back to some of our previous episodes of The Business of Family Business. And we're going to continue one more time with Chris Eckert from Eckert Orchards, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and you probably know this if you listen to this radio program. 2/3 of family businesses do not make the generational transition. So when you hear of story of Eckert Orchards lasting 7 generations, going all the way back to 1837, that is remarkable. Let me tell you about CMA Consulting, and I want you to know that they are there to help the next generation become effective business owners. Unify, develop, align. That's the key. When was the last time the members of your family business even discussed how to apply insights into the family business? Have you even started? Have you even thought about it? Go to cmaconsult.com. A lot of questions I'm sure you have, and a lot of answers they can supply. 314-721-1860. If you just want to pick up the phone and ask them, what can you do to help our family business? That number is 314-721-1860. Or if you want to jot down this website one more time, it's cmaconsult.com. If you have a family business and you have a story to share on this program, we would love to hear from you. Make sure to reach out to Dan Bean and their website, cmaconsult.com, cmaconsult.com. The story this week, as we're about to wrap up, is with Chris Eckert from Eckert Orchards. I know with my grandmother's generation, when they bought a home, so many of them and their family, friends, always had some fruit tree in the house. You don't see that much anymore where they have a tree that could bear fruit on the property. They stopped doing that after. She had a pear tree in the backyard, and we always knew when the right times were. We weren't farmers, but we knew when it was the right time for the pears in the back. And I think some people get a certain idea of what to look for, but that seems to be phased out. You don't see the fruit trees in people's homes anymore, the certain properties. So I wanted to talk to you about your relationship with your father and your uncles, your working relationship. So after you came back from college, what was that process like for you to get into the family business on a bigger role?
Yeah, I think my personality is I want to take charge and I want to get involved. So I think my dad and his cousin were pushing back a little bit with me at the start of things. And that was probably exactly what I needed because there's a lot of experience that is necessary to be effective. You need more than just energy to do a good job. So,
wait, so you came in, you said, I got the college education, I know everything.
I don't think it was that arrogant, but it was like, give me anything you can. I
gotcha.
Want to take the ball and run. And I think I'm fortunate that I have family. My dad and his cousin Jim are both people who are patient and are excited for young family members to get involved. I see that with the next generation. My dad and Jim both are, you know, excited to see young people coming into the business and doing jobs and working the summers on the farm. So I think that creates an environment that people are excited, young people are excited to be a part of that and be a part of that legacy. But I would say at the same time, the family culture is of hard work.
Right.
And we are no better than any job that needs to be done. So you start on the ground level and work your way up in the business. And unfortunately for my kids, that culture has not changed. So they're having to get in at the ground level. As my daughter was pricing products in the warehouse yesterday, she was not too excited about the lower rungs of the jobs in the business. But I think that gives you a sense of pride in your work, and it gives you an education of how hard every job is to do in, mm-hmm. in a business. So you have an appreciation for the work that all of our team are doing every day to make the business successful and thrive.
So that's Generation 8.
Generation 8, yeah.
Did they have the same enthusiasm that you had at that age?
Oh, it's too early to tell. She's 15, so she's got a lot of enthusiasm about her hair right now. But but she's a really good worker and a great kid. And our son is just coming out of sixth grade, so he's more interested in Minecraft than Peaches right now. So we're working on him. But we do have my sister's kids are showing some interest in business and are studying agriculture in college. And so they're kind of showing, you know, real professional interest in what we do. And so we'll see how that transpires over the next few years. Mm-hmm. And we're working close with them and trying to, you know, build that bridge between education and your professional life.
Well, you get him on some machinery, that'll change his mind on anything.
My nephew's very interested in the machinery side of things. So.
Well, of course, that'll get their interest heightened very quickly.
Yep.
Eckerd Orchards, do you have a pep talk for anyone that works there? Or do you have any keys to success if you're doing some sort of orientation to help people get caught up in the atmosphere and what is basically what you would expect?
Yeah, you know, there's several things. One, we're very fortunate to do the kind of work we do because at its core, people are having a good time when they come to Eckerd's. You know, it's a pretty special memory that families are creating with their kids when they come to Eckerd's. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty special to be a part of so many families' experience in that way. I go around St. Louis and do talks, and we did this at the Family Business Forum. I said, who here has been to Eckerd's picking apples? Mm-hmm. And inevitably, 80% of the room raises their hand. In that case, it was almost everybody in the room raised their hand. So, you know, that's a pretty good feeling for us to be a part of so many people's lives like that. And it's hectic when we're busy because we'll host, between all of our locations, we host about 750,000 family people to our farms every year. And it can be a little daunting when we have 10,000, 15,000 people a day out there. And I always encourage our staff, I say, on those busy days, you're running around and being crazy, but just take a moment to step back and observe, because those are the special days when you see so many people having a good time. And that is so rewarding, you know, to just take that in for a second and then deal with the clogged toilet in the bathroom. So.
When you look at it from a personal level and all of the different successes that you've had at Eckerd's, are there any moments where you can look back and just smile, some funny moments that may have happened and that you've come to really appreciate?
You're putting me on the spot here a little bit, but I mean, a couple of funny stories I can talk about. One is we had a family. This was a foreign family. They're not from here for their, you know, seven generations, but they came out to the farm and they picked an enormous amount of peaches.
Oh, wow.
They brought in almost an entire wagon load of peaches.
Wow.
And they came to the checkout and they rang them out and they put their hand out looking for the money to be paid for the fruit that they picked. So they thought this was a job that they would get paid to go harvest the fruit.
Oh, no.
So that was one of our favorite stories to talk about.
Have to explain that one.
You know, you think about it, it is kind of unusual, the business that we're in. You know, it's if we were to offer somebody a job to come pick our fruit, sometimes, you know, an American might be insulted by that. But if we charge them to come pick our fruit, they come by the thousands and take pictures of it. So, you know, it's what a country.
What's the furthest someone has traveled? Did you ever ask them where they came from if they're not from this region? And have people from other countries visited you?
There have been, I'm sure, people who have. Yeah. Now, more, I think, foreign visitors are here on a tour, an agricultural tour or a business tour, and they want to see the business model that we've created and so forth. So we've entertained a lot of groups like that. I think from regular shoppers coming in or people coming in to pick fruit, most of them are, most meaning more than 95% of those people are coming from the St. Louis metropolitan area. But it's not unusual for us to have people from Springfield, Illinois, or Columbia, Missouri, or Champaign, or, you know, those areas. But you can find businesses like Eckert's in almost every major metropolitan area. Well, for sure, every major metropolitan area, most mid-level metropolitan areas. So we've got friends who have pick-your-own farms in Champaign and Peoria and Rockford and Chicago. So there's a lot of options out there. And I think it is part of our business is being a part of that local community because you want to feel like you're supporting your local farm.
So let's say, Chris, you go into a room and 80% raise their hand. They've had the experience, but there's another 20% that haven't had the experience. How can people find you and can kind of talk about how they can get that experience for themselves?
Well, obviously, we're on the web at Eckerts.com, social media, Facebook and Instagram. But I think the best thing to do is to come out and visit us on a fall day at the farm or in the summer day at our Belleville location. We have three locations around the St. Louis market, and Belleville being our main location, open 12 months out of the year. And we have two seasonal locations, one in Millstadt, Illinois, which we call the Fun Farm. That's where you can find the pumpkin cannon and the pig races. And then we also have a location up in Grafton, right off the River Road, when it's open. But you can get there through the bluff as well. It's on top of the hill. And it's a pick-your-own apple, peach, blackberry, pumpkin farm. And then, you know, what I always say about Grafton is the drive there is half the experience because it's such a beautiful part of our area. And then if you're in Lexington, Kentucky, we've got a location in Lexington, Kentucky as well. And beautiful place of the earth and bourbon country and horse country. So it's a neat place to go visit too.
You have a website.
Yep, www.eckerts.com.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. You heard the story of Eckert Orchards and everything that goes into it, spanning seven generations and hopefully many more to come. What are your impressions of this story?
This is an amazing story. Generation seven is very unique, and the odds are very much against it. So very, very few family businesses reach this point. Eckert's is not a large business, and you don't need to be large to be passed down over the long term. So Eckert's has been around for 180-plus years. And it's passed down from one committed generation to another. And Chris spoke to the two different types of companies and the operating companies committed to the operating company and the land. And the larger corporation, in terms of shareholders, is committed to the land. And that really helps hold the family together. So I have a feeling that this business is going to be around for several more generations, and they're going to have nothing but success.
Eckert Orchards. Eckert's, I'm sure a lot of people listening have been there, but it's probably time to take another visit. Chris Eckert, thank you so much for coming on.